I have Robert McCafferty, and on the phone I have psychotherapist Caroline McGuigan. Hello, Robert, how are you?
Hi, Noel.
And hello, Noel. Caroline, how are you?
Good morning, Noel, I'm great. How are you?
Okay, not too bad at all. Now, your work, tell me something about your work before I talk to Robert.
Oh, my work, well, I've a couple of hats, Noel. I work as a therapist, and I also work in an organisation called Suicide or Survive, and we run programmes for people who've attempted suicide or are suicidal, and we're at the moment also going around the country delivering wellness workshops, and they're to challenge the stigma around mental health and also to skill up a person to look after their own mental health, Noel. And It's for any of us. It's not, you don't have to have hit a crisis. It's like, you know, the big thing at the moment is that we're, you know, there's the stigma there. And then people, the other side, Noel, is people go, well, how do I help someone if they're going through a tough time? So we're just trying to share our learning, Noel, as we go along. So that's what I'm involved in.
And you use the word there, twice stigma, and it is the best word to use in a case like this, because I heard a lot of people talking, and it seems to be one of the greatest anomalies there as regards of the way people themselves as well, the confidence and the things like, and confronting their own issues. Would that be correct?
Yeah, and also, and I mean, Robert and myself at the moment are working with the Amnesty campaign. I think, Noel, it's bringing it back to ourselves and saying, like, you know, people, we're very caught on illness in Ireland, and maybe it's cultural or the way we've been brought up. People recover. People come through really tough times in life. We're very resilient, but we need support along the way. But we need to have communities where we're not embarrassed or ashamed. It's like I went through, you know, a really tough time in life where I had massive panic attacks and depression, and, you know, I attempted suicide. And I came back from that. Now, it wasn't easy. It was bloody hard to claw yourself back into life. But I came back from it and went back to college and said, look, I want to be part of the solution rather than the problem. And then started to look at the whole system and go, what's happening here? Nobody's encouraging people or saying, do you know what? You can recover and you can come true. It's the stigma that puts you into hiding. And I've often said, could you imagine my CV? You know what I mean? Like, okay, that sounds lovely. I'm a psychotherapist and I've worked really hard to achieve that. And I'm a CEO of an organisation. But my CV also has to have on it, I attended a psychiatric service over an 8-year period while I built my life up. And at a stage in my life, unfortunately, at that moment, death looked more to me a way of shutting down the pain. But my CV should be able to hold that. But do you think now if people seen that in the workplace, would they give me a job, Noel?
Yeah, there's a couple of questions there, Carolyn. I mean, for instance, why would you have to have it on your CV? And secondly, I mean, when people, the different degrees of mental health that people have, some people recover very quickly with very little help. Some people need a lot more.
Yeah.
But, and being in the workplace, if you have that stigma from the perception of other people, how hard is that?
Oh, and you see, the other side is, I suppose when we say about putting it, and I was sort of just putting that out on my CV, I'm, you know, in a way, I'm delighted that I got it, and it's a part of my life, and it should be something I'm able to, and I do feel comfortable sharing it, that, you know, if people see, my God, this person, and me, like many, many others, and I know Robert would feel the same, our strengths were that we came through something, and our strengths are that we can, you know, go through tough times. And I think if I was somebody employing someone, I would think that's really great. My God, this person has come through something and is able to, you know, carry on. And also, like you said, Noel, every one of us, you know, will go through vulnerability and tough times at different levels, and it will depend on our own attitude, our own coping strategies, our own take on everything. And I think it's in our communities to have services that don't have a one-fit-all, because we're not all the same and we're going to need different support. And I think that's where the big thing is. Communities are fantastic, Noel. We're really, really good if we're given the tools and we're given the information. We're very good at looking after each other and looking out for each other.
And when you're talking to people, patients and that, does it help that they can empathise and it works both ways to the extent?
I think from working with clients and working with people, what I've learned is that the more I learn, the less I know. That's the first thing, you know what I mean? And I just, you know, the university of life will keep going. But I think just one, that we're all so different and unique, and each of our experiences will be different. But I think the one thing I try and do, even regardless of my own life story, is can I be respectful to this person in front of me? Can I try and understand what it's like for them, but no, and I never will. And then can I work, and can we work together? But the big thing, Noel, is they drive their own recovery plan. So it's like, it's not about me going, oh, I know what you've been through, because I don't. But it's more important to support someone and say, look, what I can say to you is from working with people and my own experience is that you can come through. It's going to be a tough time, but you're already in a tough place.
And with all the organisations you're involved in, yourself and Robert, you have Soonis, and of course Amnesty International. I'll talk about to Robert in a second. But then you have RAP, the Wellness Recovery Action Brilliant. Group, and then you're in Maynooth, and also the SOS, the Suicide or Survive. Yeah. Are things getting better? I know the funding is not great, but are things getting better with understanding in general?
Well, I think what we're doing now, Noel, isn't it fantastic? We've spoken about mental health, we've spoken about suicide. I'm chatting with you now and I'm saying, like, yeah, I'm a psychotherapist, I'm a tutor from Maynooth University, and I also have this other part of my life. And I think if we just keep talking and talking, so are things getting better? I think people, and particularly people from, now this is just my experience, who've come through difficult times, we're more willing to talk out. We've educated ourselves and said, hang on a minute, we actually know what works for us, and I think the service needs to listen to us. So I think in that way there's definitely a shift, but there's still massive stigma out there. I mean, I work with people and I'd often say to them, you know, how are you going to manage this? And they go, well, I'll tell you now, I'm not telling my family and I'm not telling people in my community because I'll be one of those people. And that's still very strong, Noel, but there is a change. But the big thing, because you mentioned money there, and I just think we're very fragmented, all the services out there, and we've sort of been set up to go after the one pot of gold, which is, that gives power then to the people giving money. But I think our biggest strength is if we come together, and we need to let go of some stuff ourselves, and we need to work together for the greater good. And I personally, and I'm sure organisations may disagree with me, I think we're not working together enough yet. And if we pooled, we'd have more money and we'd have, you know, we'd get to people quicker. That's my experience, Noel.
Okay, just hold on there a sec, Carol. I'll talk to Robert now. We're going to talk about the Amnesty campaign, Robert. Tell me about that. Now, you're a member of Soonis as well. Obviously, you'd agree with everything Caroline has said.
I would agree with her, yeah. I'd like to speak about the Amnesty campaign. It's a campaign Amnesty are doing for the next 3 years, to year 2013. And it's an advisory group we're involved in. And it's advised on Amnesty International policy positions to support achieving the campaign objectives, actively support mobilisation of other right holders, participate as individual campaigning activities by choice, provide advice on developing wider rights holder involvement in research policy and overall campaign more generally, participate in evaluation impact of the campaign. In other words, what that means is it's just to try and do away with the stigma of mental health. I mean, there is, as Caroline mentioned, there's a huge stigma against mental health. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's our job now, to try and do away, to eradicate that stigma. You know, to show that we're just kind of normal people who come through a tough time and we're out the other side and we're the same as everybody else. We all have wives, husbands, brothers, lovers, sisters or brothers, you know, we're no different. Just because of mental health, really.
Okay, this is taking place on the 12th of October.
This is a World Mental Health Day. It's in North Strand Mental Health Team in Killarney Street. And there's Clwyd Community Hall, Killarney Court, Killarney Street, Dublin 1. It's the 12th of October from 2 to 4 p.m. And Souvenirs will have a stand there, and different organisations will have different stands, Mood for Food and the Mental Health Act information and all that kind of thing, you know.
Okay, and I'll give you the number now. It's 855-4590 if anybody wants any more information. Yeah. That's on the 12th of October. Just to go back to you, Caroline, about all of this. I mean, I was talking to Irish Water Safety last week, and the World Suicide Day, I think it was on Saturday.
Yeah, it was.
And it was the statistics amazes me, because sometimes when the conversation comes up about suicide, mental health, sometimes it's for a dramatic effect if something happens within maybe a whole family or something like that, which we've seen over the years.
Yeah.
But it, in the background, quite a lot of the year. I mean, I was amazed, as I say, to read the statistics of the amount of young people that are killing themselves in the sea. It's absolutely terrible.
And I think, you know, a couple of things even that Robert said there. I always think when we talk about stats, and I know we have to have them, it's just back to what Robert said, that's someone's brother, auntie, uncle, sister. And I think we'll never really get the true full figures. And I mean, I suppose people realistically are saying two people a day are leaving this world through suicide, and there's something that's, that, you know, that's a very big message to us in our country. It just doesn't, it's not right, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, World Suicide Prevention Day, all of us had different events and highlights, and there was a beautiful on Facebook light up the sky all over the country and in England and all, where people let lanterns go for their loved ones that they'd lost to suicide. But I think, you know, it's young people, but it's also hitting 35 plus, because all you have to do is look around at the economy. Mm-hmm. So it's a real time for us sort of coming together and looking out for each other. And I think Robert was talking there about the Amnesty campaign. I've been involved the last 3 years, and I'm very blessed to be involved the next 2 years. And I think the big, massive learning for me was that we actually know what works. There's a report called A Vision for Change, and if anybody watched that, the documentary last night, which was heartbreaking, and yet it's something we need to look at to learn behind the walls. It was unbelievable. But we actually know what our communities need to help us create good community projects. Now, what we could all do is turn around to, you know, our government and say, implement this, you know, and implement it in our communities. Because if you have community projects, Noel, and people, the signposting is quicker, and people get into the support that they need quicker. So when you're when you're high risk and you're distressed and you're suicidal, now I can only ever talk from my own experience, but from working with people and what they've shared, is you need a holding, and you need it rapid. You need someone to make an agreement with you quite quickly to say, right, over the next 24, 48 hours, you're not going to kill yourself, and we're going to look at getting supports in place. Now, we need the community projects, and Pieta House is out there, So Sad is out there, We're out there, Eve Holdings, there is loads of organisations.
There's loads of them, Caroline, and I don't want to be downbeat about anything, but do you think the campaigns by the government is enough? I don't think so, because, I mean, if you see the campaigns they do on deaths on the roads, which is well deserved, I have to say, but at the same time, when you look at the statistics here, they're still, to me, in the background. That's the way it seems to me, that it's not highlighted enough.
No. But here's the challenge, Noel. You, me, Robert, and anyone listening, what are we going to do today to break down the stigma? What are we going to do today that suicide prevention is on the same par as all the other campaigns out there? So it's like, what are we going? And I know the government has a part, but the big thing is our own attitude and our own mindset. We need to turn that around, and if we can turn that around and then turn to all our TDs and turn to all the people in the government and say to them, I mean, they've set up a cross party, and basically that means that mental health affects education, it affects where you live, it affects everything. So we need to turn around to our government and say, every one of you in all the different parties have to take responsibility around mental health, and this is how you do it, and this is why you have to do it. And I think that's the message that we need to turn around and say to, you know, our government and in our communities. I really believe in people. If you look at all the different movements that have taken place, Noel, and this is a big movement going on, initially there's going to be huge resistance. There's going to be huge, and people don't like change, because some people are going to have to let go of power.
As well as that, though, Caroline, people, as you say, they don't like change, but they wonder as well. I mean, I was talking about, due to a lot of it, about the programmes over the past couple of weeks, and that's obviously changing people's minds as well. But what would you think about, I don't know if it's done or anything or not, but in schools, and at a very young age, some people say, well, no, you shouldn't, because you're planting a seed there.
I know.
But you know, it's a bit controversial, but I maybe think that maybe they should.
Yeah. I have a lovely mate, and his name's Mick Coughlin. He's a psychologist, and he has this analogy, and I love it. Now, I have a son, Connor, who's 13, and a daughter, Amy, who's 11, and I'll just share with you what I've chosen to do as a parent. But Mick has this analogy, and his thing is that when you're being brought up, you know, your mum, your dad, and in school, you learn how to brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. So it's normal, natural. You got to brush your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth, you're going to be in trouble as time goes on. If you had an abscess, if you had a bad tooth, you'd go to the dentist, because we're told from a young age. And his analogy is, imagine if we got, and I would feel like this, I feel very strongly about it, that imagine if we got our kids from 3, 4 and 5 and we started teaching them how to look after their mental health. So basic stuff, very basic stuff on what makes them unhappy, or, you know, little triggers, what makes them angry and how to manage that. But if we took an attitude of the same way we teach our kids around their mental health, because we know it's for their own good, and if we started to look at, you know, dental health and mental health, I think it would be great. I mean, I have two children who, God love them, their eyes go up to heaven every time I go on a roller, but they know their mummy's background, they know what I've been through, and they also know that they're going to struggle in life, because that's a part of life, and that they're going to have to find ways to come through difficult times, but they also know they can come through. Research has shown, though, that talking about suicide doesn't, and that's what people's fear is. Now, people are afraid, they don't know how to talk. The Irish Association of Suicidology have beautiful booklets, if anybody goes onto their website, and it's jargon-free, no-nonsense, and it actually helps families how to talk to someone, if a teenager they're depressed, how to talk to someone if they're suicidal. And I think if you have the information, you feel a little bit more confident. And that's what my feeling, but I personally have chosen with my kids, because life is tough at times and they're going to go through tough times. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to say to them, look, lads, Mum, we find ways that you get through that time when you're annoyed, or you get through that time when you're hurt. You know, that type of way.
It's amazing, as I said, when I was talking to Irish Water Safety, and he was talking about it. I mean, it hit me out of the blue, because I talk to him quite a lot, and he comes on every weekend to talk about just general water safety. So we talked a good bit about this, and I was telling him about a particular place in Dublin that used to be famous, infamous, I should say, where people did commit suicide. Yeah. They actually called it the Bridge of Sighs. But he was saying, like, there's some spots where people go and they nearly survey the area weeks beforehand. Yeah. And I found this unbelievable. That a lot, and then the perception people have that it's an instant decision people make, and it's not always. It can be going on for weeks.
No, and I think, again, just from working with people and this, and what they've shared with myself, is that, and I know personally what happened was that complete distress and pain, and sometimes when people have made the decision to leave this world through suicide, there can be a calmness, because it's probably the first time you've ever actually, you know, in a number of weeks or months, where you've felt the calmness and you go, right, you know. And again, Noel, it's just, again, people have said to me, I don't want to live, I don't want to die, it's just I need this what's going on in my head to stop, you know. And that's the tragedy. And I suppose the tough one then is to try and say to people, look, you know, this can pass if we get the support in place. But for some people, Noel, they will have made the decision quite a while, and sometimes they're quite calm, and people may feel, oh, you know, they're doing better, or they're feeling well.
It's hard to know where the intervention would help.
And it's just what we're doing now, talking. And you know what the big thing is? We're looking for an answer. It's too complex, and there isn't one way, because we're all individual. So I think one of the answers, because I don't know either, is just let's keep talking. Where whoever, say if someone's listening today and they feel, God, I can't say anything to anyone, well, you can. And there's people you can talk to. There's One Life, there's a helpline who are absolutely amazing 24/7. So you can talk, and you don't need to go through this on your own.
Okay, with any of the organisations you're with, SOS, do you have, I don't want to put you on the spot, do you have anything in your head, the websites around that people can look
at? Oh, absolutely, we have, I mean, our own number is 1-890-577-577, and that's, our website is www.suicideorsurvive.ie, and just to say to people, the One Life, it's a suicide helpline. It's 24/7, and they are absolutely beautiful people. And the number is 1-800-247-100. And also, Pieta House, actually, Joan Freeman, who's the CEO, she got nominated as Woman of the Year on Saturday night for the amazing work they do up there. And I just give you their contact number, and they work one to one with people. Their number is 601-0000. But also, if people have access to a computer, the National Office of Suicide Prevention, if you go in there, that'll give you other organisations that are there and that can help. And my experience with these organisations, Noel, is really lovely people who genuinely care.
Okay, Caroline, thank you very much for giving up your time. I know you're very busy, and congratulations on all the work you're doing, indeed, for your own success as well.
And thank you for this morning.
Not
I really
at all.
Appreciate it.
And any time you need to, maybe you're doing fundraisers, right? Don't hesitate to give us a call.
You're the best.
Thanks very much, Caroline.
Thanks, Noel.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And just great thanks there to Caroline, indeed, McGuigan. And I know she's very busy, but... some sound advice, and I'll give you all those numbers in the course of the show today. Any of them you can ring. It's one. The first one is Caroline's one there. 1-895-775-775. Pieta House 601-0000. 1-800-247-100. Now, if you've missed any of those, in the course of the programme, I always keep a pen handy, I always say. But if you miss any of those, just ring the station here on 867 1190 and we give you out those numbers. And finally, again, I have Robert in here beside me as well, Robert McCafferty from Souness up the road. You can go up to Souness any time.
Yeah,
sure. It's open house up there, isn't it?
It's open house, yeah. We'd appreciate anybody who's a mental health difficulty or suffering a bit. If they want to come up for a cup of tea and a chat, and they'll probably end up staying. The number is 847-9911.
847-9911.
It's a recovery programme we operate up there, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very, very good for people's mental health.
Okay, you're very good for coming in. And again, that this day is the 12th of October from 2 to 4, and it's in the Clwyd Community Hall, Killarney Street. And the number is 855-4590. Thanks very much for coming
in,
Robert. Thank you.